Welcome to
Training the Woman Radio
Blog Radio. My name is Mrs. Linda DeCarter. I'm the host of Training a Woman of Man classes, and this is the first time that I'm coming to you live. I just wanted to give you a little short history of myself. I have been married to Apostle William Doran Carter III for 39 years. We got married April 27, 1977. Of those 39 years, I have known the Lord Jesus Christ for 34 years. And for the 39 years, we were married 5 years without me knowing the Lord and not knowing really how to be a wife. It is my endeavor through these classes to teach you, as the word of the Lord says in Titus, the second chapter, verses 3-5, how to be a wife, how to love your husband, how to love your children, how to be keepers at home. I just would like for you to turn to Titus if you have your Bible. It's in the New Testament, Titus, the second chapter, verses 3-5. That the aged woman likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given too much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. In other words, that the word of God be not spoken in an irreverent manner of God. So this is the job that I do, and this is what Training a Woman of Man class is based on. The classes that I teach you will be founded on biblical scriptures and principles in which the godly wife should operate in. And when I got married, I really didn't have great examples of being a wife outside of my mom. Looking at my mom being a wife, I saw that. But for the most part, you know, I looked at TV wives as being a wife, and I failed miserably for many years. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to operate as a wife. I wasn't saved, so that was a major block against our marriage. But even when I got saved, I had to learn how to be a godly wife. And that's my endeavor, is to teach you how to be a godly wife. It is God's mandate to the older woman to teach the younger woman how to conduct themselves as wife, how to love their husbands and children, how to take care of their homes. Well, most people would say that being a wife should come naturally, but for most women it's not so. Some women didn't have an example of what a wife is while growing up, and some women have grown up in the home without a mom, so they have no idea what a wife looks like, what she should do, how she should function. They have no idea how she should hold herself as a woman of faith. They have no idea how to conduct themselves as a wife. They have no idea of the characteristics of a wife, and that's extremely important. I would like to talk about that today. So you may be in love with the man that you marry or intend to marry, but without the benefit of knowing how to love him, you will fail. These are some of the biblical characteristics of a wife. I would like for you to turn to Proverbs, the 11th chapter, verses 16, and it's just the A part of verse 16. A gracious, which is full of kindness and love, woman retains honor. A gracious woman retains. She's able to keep honor. Why? Because she's full of kindness and she's full of love. This is one of the characteristics of being a wife. If you're not gracious, if you're not kind, if you don't love, how do you expect to be a wife? You will disqualify yourself. That's one of the main characteristics of being a wife. Turn now to Proverbs 19 and 14, verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent, habitually careful to avoid errors, wife is from the Lord. I'm going to read that again. Proverbs 19, verse 14. Houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. So in other words, you need to be a type of careful of errors. It's not that we're not going to make errors, because we do, but we're going to try to avoid making errors. Many women that have been married for years, they have made errors without trying to avoid making errors. But the prudent wife, she constantly thinks of the error before she makes it. She thinks of what damage can be done from making errors. So this type of wife comes from the Lord. Also, another characteristic is being sagacious. Sagacious meaning she's ready and apt to comprehend, to understand, to decide on the course. She's shrewd, and she has a discerning eye, and she operates in wisdom. She knows to operate in wisdom because she has a discernment. She can see before she does. You know, sometimes we do things just habitually, and we don't discern what we're doing. But the sagacious wife, she's very shrewd, and she knows how to operate in wisdom. So we want to have that characteristic. Now, just to let you know, that's not going to just, all of these characteristics doesn't happen overnight. It didn't happen overnight with me. I had to learn through trial and error. I mean, for many years, my husband allowed me to take care of the budgeting, the household budget, and I failed miserably. When I got paid, I felt like, well, this is my money. I can spend it the way I want to spend it without regard of the household budget, what needed to be taken care of, the first priority. I didn't think about that. I thought about Linda. Well, see, as a wife, you can't be selfish. You have to be discerning. You have to operate in wisdom. You have to know how to deal in business. You also have to be discreet, meaning that, like I said, you have to avoid errors. You know, a lot of times you will make errors, but your discretion will help keep you from avoiding making terrible errors. It doesn't have to happen that way, but you have to be discerning. You also have to be chaste. This is extremely important. Many wives feel that, well, I'm married to him, I'm just having sex with him, I'm not doing anything that's wrong. But any time that you lust after a man, or you talk about other men and you lusting after their bodies and you're showing pictures of their bodies, you are not chaste. You are not free from sexual impurity. You need deliverance, because you should just be thinking of your husband. Many times I had to correct younger women, not just those that know the Lord. I had to correct those that did not know the Lord and tell them, you're married. Just, you know, kind of jar their minds and let them know, what are you doing lusting after this man when you have a husband? So you have to be chaste. You have to be free from sexual impurity. If you're not free from sexual impurity, then let me tell you, before you try to get married, don't get married, because you need deliverance. You need to be set free from that spirit of lust that lies in you, and only God can deliver you from that. Proverbs, the 14th chapter, in the first verse, reads, every wise woman fills her house, but the foolish plucks it down with her own hands. Well, I've often taught this scripture and often told women, you have to be wise in order to build your home, in order to make a good home for your husband and your children. Your home is where you live, is who you are, and it speaks of your character. If your home is tore out the frame, you don't, you know, you're not a good housekeeper, everything is all over the place, how do you expect to build that home? What are you going to build it on? So you have to learn how to be a good housekeeper. You have to learn how to conduct yourself as a wife in your home. It's not just being a housekeeper in your home, but it's learning how to respect your husband, how to deal with your children, how to keep your children in line, how to help you, teach your children how to respect their father. That's a woman, that's a wife that's building her home. But the foolish woman, and I'm talking to the believing woman right now, because we have many of those that are foolish, even in the body of Christ. She plucks down her home with her own hands. In other words, she tears down her husband. She tears down her children. It's not just a messy home. It's messy in her spirit. And she begins to pluck down her house with her own hands by disrespecting her husband, by not reverencing the man of God. That's how you pluck down your own home with your own hands. You don't need another woman to come outside and pluck down your home. In other words, your husband don't have to be having an affair or anything. You can do that yourself. You can tear your home down on your own. And that is really a dysfunction of the wife. But every wise woman, remember this, every wise woman, she builds her house. She builds her home. When her husband comes into the door, to the portal of his home, he's happy to be there. He feels peace because you have hell outside of your home. I mean, you're dealing with the world, you're dealing with the flesh, you're dealing with all kinds of demonic spirits out there. So when you come home, you want peace. And you should create an atmosphere of peace in your home, woman of faith. This is where the godly older women who have had much experience at being married will be able to teach you just how to love your husband according to the word of God. Let's read the book of Ephesians 5, verses 22 to 24. Now, this is the older woman teaching the younger woman how to love her husband. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Let me say that again. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, which is the body of Christ, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church, the body of Christ, is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands and everything. And I believe the reason why it says to their own husband, because women have a tendency to be obedient to their pastors, their men on the job, their bosses, to their brothers, maybe their older brothers or younger brothers, but they will not be obedient to their own husband. So he had to put that phrase in there. The Lord had to let us know that the wife is to be submitted to her own husband and everything, all seclusive. You cannot just be submitted to him and some things, the things that you want to be submitted to, but you have to be submitted to him in everything. So as my husband has taught many years, you better know who you're marrying, because the person that you're married to, you have to be submitted to him in everything. That's the word. This is one of the fundamental scriptures that teaches wives how to love their husband. You cannot love your husband if you disrespect him. If you're disrespectful to the man of God in any shape, form, or fashion, you cannot love him. You can say that you love him all the days of your life, but if you're disrespectful, you cannot love your husband. If you're constant, another area that wives do, believing wives do this, if you're constantly defrauding him with your body through the sexual intercourse, which is, by the way, is not your own body. So I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 7 chapter in the 4th verse, because a lot of times we think, it's my thing, I can do what I want to do. This is my body, I can do what I want to do with it. If I don't feel like giving him sex tonight, I don't have to. Well, the word of the Lord says, the wife have not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, also the husband have not power of his own body, but the wife. In other words, our bodies belong to each other. Therefore, like I said before, you can't be defrauding your husband and saying, it's my body, I can do what I want to do, I don't have to give him sex tonight if I don't feel like it, you know, or I just don't want to do it because he made me angry. No. You have one exception that the word of God explains in that particular book. If you both agree to fasting for a season, and it would have to be just for a season, so that the enemy won't tempt you to fall, then that's fine. But you both have to agree to that. Your husband would have to agree to you fasting. And I suggest and I recommend that you both fast together so that you won't go in there. You won't have any temptation through the enemy trying to tempt you through lusting and through sexual impurity. Okay, there are some exceptions for the young wife. I mean, if you're on your menstrual cycle, your husband is not going to make love to you then. He'll wait until after your menstrual cycle is finished. If you just had a baby, your husband doesn't expect, he shouldn't expect to make love to you until at least 6 weeks to your first postpartum care. So those are some of the exceptions, but you're not to defraud your husband at any time. So those of you that think that you're going to be able to do this before you, those that are not married and planning on getting married in the body of Christ, and you think that you can perhaps defraud your husband, forget about it. That's not the word. You lost those rights. You'll lose those rights, rather, when you say your vow. When you make that commitment to love one another for all the days of your life, that includes the sexual act. So I just wanted to bring that out to you. Also, the older godly woman must explain to the younger wife how she should conduct herself with her husband in terms of what the word states, and also godly wisdom that she has learned from her own experience of being married. The younger wife should not seek counsel from ungodly women. Let me say that again. The younger wife shouldn't seek counsel from ungodly women, because the ungodly woman is not going to give you the right advice. She's not going to give you the right advice. She's going to give you her advice through a worldly view, and you don't want that, because if you get that type of advice from a worldly view, you are going to make so many major errors. You are not to get your advice from the women on the job, from them coffee clashing and giving you wrong information about men. They have no idea what the godly man and woman's marriage should be like. Do not take their advice. I've heard many women coffee clashing, talking about their husbands, and giving out wrong advice. Do not take your advice from ungodly counsel. Thank you, Father. Any advice that you get from coffee crashing on your job and allowing foolish talking about your husband to enter into your ear gate and in your spirit will only cause your relationship damage, and it can eventually destroy your marriage. I've seen it happen, so I'm telling you, I'm giving you the truth about this. The older godly woman will always point you to your husband, not away from him. So the older godly woman is going to give you the right advice. She's going to point you in the right direction. Some things that she may tell you and teach you may hurt you. You may get frustrated, but you are to listen because she's telling you this out of her own wisdom that God has given her throughout her marriage. The reason why I can give out godly wisdom now is because I have received it from the Word of God, and I try my best to operate in what the Word says a wife is. And that's how I live my life. I live my life as Mrs. William Dorian Carter. I am his rib. When you get married, you come out of the man to be of help to him, to be of good help. Not just help, but good help. Good help. I'm just going to give a short testimony. When my husband first went into ministry, he was working. My husband has always and still always provide for me. But he asked me if I wouldn't mind if he would be in full-time ministry. Well, I thought it over. I just didn't say yes right away. I thought it over. And the Lord spoke to me and said, release him and let him do my work, which I did. And, you know, when I tell that testimony, a lot of women say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not supporting him. Well, there are a lot of women, believe it or not, even ungodly women, that support their husbands. They support them while they're going to school. You know, why shouldn't I support my husband in ministry? He's doing something great for the Lord. And we have both been criticized for doing that for many years. But I thank God. I thank God that I stuck with what I said I was going to do. And it's been such a blessing in my life to be able to be a blessing, not just to my husband, but to countless of people that he has ministered to. Because why? Because I released him to do that. And I thank God for that. That's giving out good wisdom, because many a day your husband may not have the finances. What you going to do, leave him? What you going to do, stop paying the bills? If you were living by yourself, you had to pay the bills. There's a lot of women that live by themselves, and they have to pay the house note, the car note, the light bill, all of that, food. Well, why can't you do that if your husband loses his job? Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give of yourself, to give that man everything that you have? Because you know what? Nothing belongs to you anyway. You can't take anything with you. So my counsel is to always to love your husband to that degree. Any woman that loves their husband to that degree is a good wife, that will respect their husband even if they're not getting up and doing a 9-to-5 is a good wife, that will not ridicule him for not being able to work at whatever particular time in his life is a good wife. A woman that respects and honors her husband is a good wife. As I said before, a wise woman built her home, but a foolish one will pluck it down with her own hands. Also, I want to talk to the women of faith that are married to men that are not saved, because I want you to know that my husband was saved a year after I gave my life to the Lord. And you know what? I followed this scripture without even realizing that I was following it. So turn your Bible to 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verses 5, I believe, into 6. And it reads, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any husband obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the conversation or conduct of the wife. So if you're saying that you love the Lord and that you are a godly wife, then you should be able to love your unbelieving husband until he gets saved. If he's pleased to dwell with you, then you should be able to conduct yourself in a way that will draw him to the Lord. You should be able to minister to him without preaching to him. He doesn't need for you to preach the word to him or to nag him about going to the temple. I did not do that. Because what's going to happen, verse 2 says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. See, the Lord himself loved that type of woman. Not the outside, not that outward woman that have on the jewelry and the gold, but that hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, cannot decay, the wearing of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord, he loves when you wear that kind of spirit, that you have that kind of heart, that your heart is meek and it's humble and it's quiet, and that you walk in holiness and godliness before your husband. And your husband can see that. He sees the change in you. He sees that you're saved, that you love him with all your heart, even with all his faults and with all the things that he may be still doing, the unbelieving man. But he knows that he can count on you to take care of him, to love him, to be there for him, to help him in sickness, to help him when he doesn't have a job, to still help him, to show him that love. That is the kind of love that we should have for our husband. And if you feel that you cannot have that kind of love, then you should think twice even before you get married. Think twice, single women, before you get married, because this is the kind of love that you have to have. Your love has to be enduring. Your love have to be patient, kind, long-suffering. You can't give up on your husband just because he doesn't have a job or because he got sick or because you can't have sex anymore. You can't give up on your husband. You have to love him the way God tells you to love him. God commands for the wife to love her husband, to respect him and to reverence him. And I thank God that in these 39 years that my husband and myself have been married, that I've been able to learn that lesson and to be able to love him unconditionally, no matter what, to be able to call him Lord with a small L, to be able to say, yeah, that's my king. Yes, that's my king. To be able to protect him when the enemy tries to come against him. For no weapon that's formed against our marriage shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against the marriage covenant, we shall condemn. And that's another thing that I would like to talk about probably in the next radio broadcast, which will be broadcast week after next, the third Saturday at 3 p.m. I will be talking about not allowing your marriage to be attacked. Once you get married, it's your husband and yourself. Your children are not to be allowed to attack your covenant. Your in-laws should not be allowed to attack your covenant. Your family, your cousins and them, and every foe should not be allowed to attack your covenant. This is extremely important. These are things that should be taught in every temple, but which is not taught in the harlot church today, but it should be taught. You should have Bible studies. The older woman, the wise woman, should be teaching the younger woman how to love their husband, how to love their children, how to operate in their home, how to keep a good home, how to make a good home. I love you in Jesus' name.